Happy to be here. Thank you for having me here. Appreciate it very much. What time do I shoot for?
Noon.
Noon? Okay. What?
You ask her if you need to.
you're very gracious. Thank you. So let's open our Bibles then to Luke 13. And we'll begin reading Luke 13, our Lord Jesus speaking in verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive, or agonize, to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, excuse me. There's no water up here, right? No? There is water. Thank you. I think you better have a little. Verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. The Lord will bless the reading of this very solemn portion. He opens the door and lets us see a very solemn scene in the future. We have the question they asked him, are there few that be saved? Are there few? He said in Matthew chapter 7, actually, there are few that will be in heaven at the end of their lives. Most people will not be there. That's why. So we open this up with strive. You strive. Agonize, enter in. Agonize. We know what that means. The word straight is contrary to natural inclination. Straight is the gate. So naturally people think, well, I have to get right with God to be in heaven. I live a good life. I do my best, I hear people say. But he says, no, that's not the way. It's contrary to your natural inclination. So we look to the scriptures and we see he's the way. He's the only way. So strive, agonize, enter in. There was a ship called the Cunarder, and the cry was, man overboard. And there was a sailor who fell overboard, indeed, and he couldn't swim. So they threw out a lifeline to him, and it came in front of him, and he grabbed the lifeline, and strong hands took him up on board the ship. And he's lying there, and he's very weak, he's gasping and so on. and he couldn't hardly talk, like a whisper. And they're working on him. The doctor was there. Other sailors were there working on this man to bring him around. And it was 4 hours before he could actually let go of that lifeline. And then he said to the captain, whispering, he said, "Captain, I gripped it for my life." 4 hours later, he was able to let go of the lifeline. So, well, he wasn't any fool, was he? He realized that the lifeline was in front of him. And if he didn't grab it then, he might not have another opportunity to have it again in front of him. And whenever this gospel message is preached, it's like a lifeline being thrown out to whoever's listening who's not saved, who's not ready to die. And we know that moment's coming for everybody. We're all going the way of all the earth. So it's a lifeline being thrown out. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you grab that lifeline. Now you turn around from going your way to my way, and you grab that lifeline. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So that's what's going on right now, or whenever the gospel is preached. It's a lifeline, and few there be that find it. Jeremiah 29:13, he said, when you seek me with all your heart, that's when you'll find me. And do we see people seeking him with all their hearts? Sadly, no. People aren't even seeking him at all. And it must grieve the heart of God Almighty, because he sent down his son in love to die on the cross for all our sins that we might be saved. Understand, this life isn't all there is. This life isn't it. We're only here to connect with Christ. So God in love sent down his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die on that cross of Calvary, that whosoever, anybody, believeth in him, trust him as Savior, Lord of my life, Savior, would not perish. Don't go to hell, no hell, but have everlasting life. It's all about him. Your life changes when you trust him as your Savior. Your whole life falls right into place now when you trust him. I am the way. The only way to heaven is me. I'm the truth. I'm the life. The only life there is Christ. And life begins with Christ. And the very life of God comes in me. And that emptiness in my heart is filled. For the first time in my life, the emptiness is filled. People trying to fill the emptiness in their heart, this vacuum in their heart, by things they find under the sun, down here. And it can't be done. It cannot be done, my friend. You must trust him. You receive him. He fills your heart to overflowing. So we have two groups of people here. We have sinners. They're standing outside the shut door. And then we have those who are saved. And they're sitting on the inside of the door. So the great lesson is here for us. Sinners standing outside the door. Many will say unto you, many I say unto you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So why? Why are they standing outside the door? The door's closed now to heaven. They thought it ought to be open, but it's not. So why? He tells us why, that they came too late, first of all. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, but it's closed. It's going to close one day. This world's not going to go on and on and on, as men and women think. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. On and on we go. On and on we go. It's going to end. My friend, it's going to end. It's coming very near. Psalm 110:1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Verse 3 is out right now. Sit at my right hand until. And one day this last soul is going to be saved, born again, who's listening to the gospel. You don't listen, you'll never be saved. You have to listen to God's voice, not my voice, his voice, speaking to your heart. And he's saying to you this morning, if you're not saved, come to me now, and I'll receive you. Your whole life falls into place, everything now, and you have assurance of heaven. Isaiah 1:18, come now. When the Lord speaks to a heart, he's you come now, right now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. They'll be crimson, they'll be white as wool. I'll wash you whiter than snow, and I count your faith in my Son as righteousness. When you do that, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. There's going to be a day when he can't be found. Today he can be found. The door's open wide to heaven right now. He can be found right outside your heart's doors where he is right now, knocking at your heart's door through the gospel message, the door to your life. Open the door, he says, and I will. I promise you, I will come in. A time when thou mayest be found, Psalm 32 and 6. A group of hunters from England were in India hunting tigers. They had refuge huts nearby. They always knew where they were. If you wound a tiger, you better get to a refuge hut. Yeah. So this happened to this man. It's a true story. He shot and wounded the tiger, and the tiger's very enraged now. He's coming after him. So he goes to the refuge hut, and the door is always supposed to be open. And he grabbed the door handle, but it wasn't open. It wasn't open. Somehow it got locked, and he died. He was devoured, torn to pieces by the tiger at the door. He thought the door would always be open. And men and women today, they think heaven's door will always be opened. And I can get saved whenever I want to be saved. When I want to be saved, I'll be saved. Well, that's not true. God says, now you come. When I speak to you, if he speaks to anybody this morning, he says, now you come to me now. How do you know he'll ever speak to you again? How do men and women know that? If you hear God's voice, that's no small thing. That's no small thing. If you know God's speaking to my heart and calling me, he's calling me to him, how do you know he'll call you again? He may never call you again. I know people who left gospel meetings in tears, not saved, and they never left again in tears. He never called them again. They missed their opportunity. They didn't realize that lifeline was being cast out to them for the last time. They came too late. And they called him Lord. Lord, Lord, they said. But he wasn't their Lord. He was not their Lord. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's Luke 6 and 46. Lord, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, saying Lord, Lord. It's not saying Lord, Lord. Your life will show it. My life will show that I've turned my life over to him. Psalm 12 and 4, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? That's how I lived for 30 years of my life. Is that how you live? Who's Lord over me? Nobody. I do what I want to do. My will be done. Reign. The word reign is to be king, to have sovereign rule. The right to control your life. We will not have this man to reign over us. If you will not have him reign over you, there's no salvation for you. That verse over there to my right, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Put all your faith and trust in him. He died for you. You will be saved. Who was that said to? To a man on his knees trembling. He was about to die in his own sins, and he knew he was. And he's not right with God. And he knew that. He fell down before two Jews, a Roman, and he called them sirs. It's a title of great respect. Sirs, he said, what must I do to be saved? I was about to die by my own hand, and I know I'm not right with God. He wanted nothing more to do with sin. Obviously, he did not have anything to do with sin in his mind anymore. I want to live for him now. So to him, they said, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Correct. However, that's not the message for this world. First, you repent. Repent. Except ye repent. Change your mind. I have Jesus Christ reign over me. Be Lord of my life as him. I don't live for me anymore now. I live for him now. I'm a changed man now. And the Holy Spirit of God comes in the man, the woman, and I now have power over sin to live a life pleasing to God. And that must be the desire of everybody, to live for him, for his honor, his glory. Not to please me. No, I want to please him. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I do always those things that please him. Well, what can we say? I do always those things that please me. And I knew that. When I was 30 years old, I knew that. I heard this gospel message, and I understood what I had to do. Turn around, 180 degrees, and going my way, to his way. Surrender my life to him. There is no salvation. There's no believing and being saved until I step down from the throne of my heart, and I crown Jesus Christ Lord of my life. Lord of my life now, Lord. And I show you. I don't just call you Lord, I do those things that you say. First is repentance. God now commandeth all men and women everywhere in this world to repent. Change your mind, and have him reign over you. Bob Dylan challenged himself in one of his songs, like in 1980. Have I surrendered, in one of his songs, have I surrendered to the will of God, or am I still acting like the boss? Have you surrendered to the will of God, or are you still acting like the boss? And you know what the sad thing is, the terrible thing is, he'll let you. You can be the boss of your life if you want to, but you die that way, my friend. You'll be standing outside the door. Because he's not your Lord. You didn't want him as your Lord. I want to do what I want to do. And you did what everybody's doing. Everybody's doing that, aren't they? My will be done. Turn around 180 degrees. Not my way, thy way. And to those who say, my will be done, in the end, when they're standing before him, he will say to them, thy will be done. You chose hell. You didn't choose me. You chose hell. So depart from me. I never knew you. So the very first lesson we learned is they came too late. The second lesson is that they called him Lord, and he wasn't their Lord at all. And the third one, they had no personal connection with him. Twice he said to them, I don't even know who you are. Who are you standing in front of me? I don't know you. And why didn't they know him? They did not want to know him. I don't want to know him. I don't want him to reign over me. I actually don't like this Bible. Truth, righteousness, holiness. I don't like those things. I like sin. I like pleasing me. Pleasure. I like pleasure in my life. I like people in my life. I like possessions in my life. Power in my life. These things I like. But I don't want to know him as my Savior. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. I tell you, I know ye not. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. What solemn final words are they? See, life's for all about eternity. Eternity. He made us for eternity. We all know that. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he put eternity in our heart. In our hearts was eternity. We all know that. I'm only here for a brief time. And I've been at bedsides where people are dying. that don't know Christ, and there's terror in their eyes, terror, because they know in their hearts, like that the man in Acts 16 knew in his heart, I didn't live my life to please God. We all know there's a God. We all know there's a God. That's why he gave us a sense of right and wrong, didn't he? How do we know right from wrong anyway? Children know right from wrong. That's not right. Don't pick on that little boy. That's not right. He could turn and say, well, who said it's not right? Who said it's not right? Nobody said. We all know in our hearts right from wrong. Who put that in our hearts? God put that in everybody's heart so we understand what kind of God he is. He's a moral God. Now, what about your conscience? Where'd that ever come from now? Where'd that come from? How do I know? How do I know I did wrong? My conscience troubles me now. It troubles me now. God gave us the conscience so we feel guilty. Guilt is what it's all about, my friend. That's why Christ came down to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Sins make us feel guilty. And we can't die guilty. We need our sins forgiven. A clear conscience now. Clear conscience now when I trust Christ as my Savior. It's all about that. Eternity's ahead. I've seen terror in their eyes. I wasn't even saved. I had an uncle who was dying. I didn't know he had cancer. He didn't know either at the time. I went to his bedside. We used to go camping, two families camping together in the summertime. And I'm looking at him in the bed in the hospital. I'm trying to cheer him up a little bit, you know. And I said to him, oh, Uncle Murray, we'll be camping this summer. He looked at me, a look I've never forgotten. And the look was terror in his eyes. He said, Wade, I don't know. He was terrified because he knew in his heart, I'm going to die. And I know in my heart I'm not ready to meet God. I have not lived my life to please him. I've lived to please me. And now the time has come to leave my body in death. Death is separation. We live inside our bodies. We all live inside our bodies. They're only houses. That's all they are. Peter says shortly, Peter, living inside this body, my house, was put off this my earthly house. I, Peter, you can bury my body. You can burn my body. But I, Peter, I'm going out into eternity. And it's either to be with Christ in heaven above or in hell. The reality of hell is all through the New Testament. The reality of hell is for all those who will not have that man to reign over me. I live for me. I do what pleases me. Mark Twain was in Europe, going city to city, being heralded and so on. At the end, he was having a big banquet there in Paris. He had his daughter with him. And she said to him at the close of the banquet, she said, Daddy, it seems like you know everybody, but you don't know God. She recognized that. You don't know God. You know everybody. What's the point of that? What does it matter? What does it matter? When you die in your sins, rich man died and in hell, Hades lifted up his eyes being in torment. What did it matter then who we knew? Who we knew? No, it didn't matter at all. He said, I never knew you. My friend, he's calling you today. Every day he's calling sinners to himself. Come unto me, come to me. Or that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give it to you. Your life begins with Christ. And by faith I come. Do I understand? No, I don't understand, but I believe. And we're saved by faith. For by grace, unmerited favor, are ye saved, born again, sins gone, sure of heaven. By faith in him, I believe God. First in Acts 27, Paul says, I believe God that it shall be, even as it was told me. It shall be, even as it was told me. That's faith in God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Agonize, enter in. Diligently seek him. He'll reward you. Open your eyes of understanding. And nobody ever regretted surrendering their life to Christ. And my friend, that's a requirement. There's no salvation to anybody who will not surrender. I give it up, Lord. I surrender. Napoleon, he would have conquered Europe. He wasn't a very nice man. He was a very cruel man, actually. But in Battle of Waterloo, Napoleon of England defeated him and changed everything. He was fighting in France on one occasion, Wellington, three armies of the French, and he defeated them. And all three generals came up to him, of those three armies, to surrender. And as they drew near to him, he's standing there like just standing waiting for them to come to him. As they drew near to him, one of them said, "What an honor it is for us to surrender to such a fine commander as you are." His countenance didn't change. He said, "Gentlemen, I don't want your flattery. I want your swords. Lay them down at my feet in surrender." That's what he wants from you. Flattery. I have Christmas. I have Easter. I wear a cross around my neck. I get the Lord's Supper on the wall of my house. God bless his home. He says, no. I don't want your flattery. I want you. What does he want from you? He wants you. Surrender your life to him. Give yourself to him. Humbly give yourself to him. Stop fighting against God. Stop trying to hide from God and come out into the open. Where art thou? It was a rhetorical question from God to Adam. He knew where he was. It was said in love to him. Where are you, Adam? Come to me, Adam. Come. All will be well now. You come to me, and all will be well with you if you'll come to him. They came too late. They didn't know him. Now we have sinners that are sitting. They're sitting inside the door. These are people that are saved, born again. They knew him in life. Their life was not lived for themselves. They weren't lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. No. They sought to please him and had a blessed life of joy in their hearts. Happiness comes and goes, doesn't it? Things are happening good in my life. I'm happy. They're not happening so nice in my life. I'm not happy. That's all this world has, is happiness. Comes and goes. God says, "I've got joy for you, joy. It far surpasses human happiness. Can't even compare it. And when I wake up, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. When I awake, I'm still with thee." Joy. Doesn't matter what's happening in my life. As sorrowful, Paul said, but always rejoicing. That's what he gives, is rejoicing when I come to him. And so they sit down in the kingdom of God. Why? Obviously, they sought him. And they found him in time. "I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." But the door is going to close. It's going to close one day. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things down here, I'll add them unto you. I'll bless your life. I'll add them unto you." Man's getting a ferry. It's only about a 10-minute crossing over to Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, where I used to live, to Halifax, coming back again. This man's going to work over there. He's an executive, hurrying to get there to the ferry, and the door closed. Just as he got there, the door closed on the ferry. This man was brought up in a Christian home. This man knew the gospel well, but he's putting off his salvation one day at a time. Days go by, weeks go by, months, years go by. He's still in his sins. And God spoke to him. He's looking at that ferry, and the door's closed. It's pulling away. And the Lord gave him a verse, Matthew 25:10. "And the door was shut. And the door to heaven was shut." And he sat there thinking about that. He said, my goodness, if that was heaven's door, and I wanted to go so bad, there'd be no heaven for me. There'd be no heaven for me. The door was shut. He couldn't stop thinking about it. God spoke to him. God was very gracious to him. He died and spoke to his heart. He got to work. He said to his secretary, hold all calls. Went in his office, closed the door, locked it, got on his knees crying, God Almighty, how good you were to me, how good you were to me. I didn't die yet, and the door's open. I come now, I come now, I come now. Lord Jesus Christ, I give myself to you. Thank you for dying for all my sins on that cross. I know I'm now forgiven. I know I'm now yours, Lord, and heaven's my home. Everlasting life. Him that cometh to me, I will never, never cast out of my family. He knew that. They're sitting inside the door. Heaven is him. Heaven is all about him. I never knew you. You have to know him. You must know him. An atheist, oh, there is no God, trying to convince himself. A little boy lived next door to him. Every Sunday, the boy's going to church with his Bible. Happy, happy, you see. It troubled the atheist, this boy's faith. He looked so happy all the time with his Bible. So he thought he'd trouble him one morning. So he went out on Sunday morning. He said, where are you going, boy? And he said, well, I'm going to church. He said, what are you going to do there? I'm going to learn more about Jesus. Oh, you are, really. I'm going to ask you a question. What if you died, went to heaven, and Jesus wasn't there? What would you do? The boy said, well, I suppose I'd go look for him. Well, how about this now? You found out that Jesus Christ wasn't in heaven. He went to hell. What then, boy? Trying to shake the boy's faith, you see? The boy smiled at him, which surprised him. And the boy said, sir, you understand. If Jesus was in hell, it wouldn't be hell anymore. It'd be heaven. Because where Jesus is, that's heaven. Where Jesus is, that's heaven. Heaven on earth is knowing Jesus Christ. Heaven on earth is knowing Jesus Christ. Where Jesus is, that's heaven. If you choose the Lord Jesus Christ, you're choosing heaven. What must I do to go to hell? Not a thing. Just don't choose him. Just keep him out of your life. Keep on going the way you're going, same way every day. And your end, my friend, your end will be those people standing outside the door. And they're sitting, they're resting on the finished work of Christ. That's all a man has to do. Nothing for us to do whatsoever. Nothing. Surrender. That's all. Just give it up. Lord Jesus Christ, I turn to you now, and I receive you as Lord of my life, my Savior from sin. I don't know what people are holding on to. I have no idea. What are you holding on to down here? Just let go. Let go. And receive him. Just receive. There's no holding on now. He's holding on to me. On his shoulders I am, like that sheep in Luke 15. You're going to bring me home. Bring me home. There was a vase in a family that was passed down from mother to daughter, about four generations of it. It was beautiful. Father sitting in the home, he looks over at his daughter, and she had the vase up in the air like her hand was in it. He said, my dear, put the vase down now very carefully. Take your hand out of the vase. You break the vase, you break your mother's heart. She said, Daddy, I can't. He said, what do you mean you can't? I can't get my hand out. So he went over, and she was right. He couldn't get her hand out. So he went and got some grease or something, put it around her wrist. He's pulling on it, and it would not come out of the vase. He said, honey, we have to get your hand out of the vase. You put your hand in the vase, surely you can take it out of the vase. Please, will you try one more time for Daddy? Please. She said, Daddy, if I do, I have to let go of the penny. He said, what penny? I found a penny in the bottom of the vase, and I've got it in her little fist. That's why her hand wouldn't come out. Hi, he said, what penny? He said, listen to me. Listen, honey, you let go of that penny, take your hand out, and I promise you, I'll give you 100 pennies. She said, you promise? I promise. Take your hand out, my dear. Let go of the penny. Took her hand out. She got 100 pennies. Whatever it is you're holding on to, it's a penny. That's all it is compared to what's awaiting you right now in Christ. In Christ, the riches of Christ, yours. Every day of your life, when you wake up, I'm still with you. Your compassions fail not. They're new every morning unto me. Yes, they are. Whatever you, what are you holding on to? Pleasure, people, possessions, what? Let go. Just let go. Let go. Turn around and let him bless you, and you'll be rich in Christ. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for listening. We'll pray. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks, Father, that the door is open still to heaven, and he is still calling sinners to himself, Father. What a wonderful God you are. How long-suffering you are, Father God, to this world, rejecting you more and more and more, Father. What's being good's called evil. What's evil's being called good, Father. Surely we see the coming of the Lord drawing nigh, Father, drawing near. And how gracious you are to leave that door open, Father, even today. So, Father, bless your word. Bless the gospel. Bless those in Berkeley Heights here, Father. Bless the dear children that come here, Father. Save their precious souls, our Father God. We know, Father, in the end, that's all that matters, Father, is heaven or hell. What I do with him, what will I do with Jesus Christ, which is called the Christ? Father, bless your word now this morning as it's gone out. Maybe somebody in Zoom was watching, Father. You know the hearts of everyone, Father. And if anyone has heard this gospel message, Father, may they understand it wasn't by accident. You put them in touch with the gospel, Father, and you're calling them. Every day you're calling. You called. So, Father, may they understand that, Father. And if they recognize your voice calling, may they respond, Father. May they come. So we, your people here this morning, Father, we are so grateful, Father, that you revealed to us that first revelation necessary, ourselves. Job said, now my eye sees you, Lord, wherefore I abhor myself. Father God, how we thank and praise you, our Father. You brought us to that place in our lives where we saw ourselves and we truly are in your sight, and we abhorred ourselves, Father. No good thing dwelleth in me, Father. And then, Father, we saw him, the second revelation, him on the cross, dying for our sins. And here we are this morning, Father, your people. Assurance of heaven, the blessed hope before us, he's coming back again. And if we die, Father, that's well and good. Absent from our bodies and present with the Lord, we shall be in a moment of time, Father. And Paul said that's far better. What a life we have down here, Father, and what a future we have, O God. Daily fellowship with thee and thy Son. Joy in our hearts, peace in our hearts, love in our hearts, power in our life, Father. How blessed are we. And it's all him, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, for him we thank you. We praise and bless you, Father, for him. And he's still saving sinners, Father. What a wonderful Savior he is. In his name now we pray these things, Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.